Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with Jim Carse in New York City. He has written a gospel coming directly out of the Christian tradition. That's pretty nervy. What did you do? What is this story? Tell me a story, Professor Carse.
Well, what I did was to read extensively in the primarily in the Jewish literature contemporary to Jesus. There's a lot of it. Scholars have been familiar with this literature. It's part of the rabbinical tradition in Judaism. So I immersed myself in this immensely varied, wonderfully fascinating body of literature to try to get some sense of the kind of discourse, the kind of stories, the kind of teaching, the kind of issues that would have been characteristic of Jesus. Now, if you think that there are these 200 Gospels, or even if you thought there were just four Gospels, and you looked through them at the figure of Jesus, each one of them, even the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give a different picture of Jesus, you'd have to conclude that any picture of Jesus is a combination of historical relevance or historical accuracy and the imagination. So what I tried to do is to be historically accurate in the sense of establishing the discourse of the time and yet bringing my own imagination to it. So I have my Jesus tell stories.
Like what?
Which is not substantially different from the original Gospels.
No.
In fact, what you described.
And what is the word gospel?
Well, that's important to establish. A gospel, interestingly, this may fascinate some people, is the only literary form unique to Christianity.
Oh?
A gospel is the narrative of the life and teachings of Jesus. There is no...
That's all it means. It doesn't have any other meaning.
No, right. I mean, when we think of it as a literary type, I mean, the gospel, a lot of people take to be the message of Jesus, or sometimes the message of Christendom. But if we look at the Gospels as literary pieces, then we'd have to say that there really is nothing like it anywhere else in world literature.
So now, what you're doing is very much in a tradition, and
a very narrowly defined tradition. Yes, I am. See, there have been many attempts over history to write novels or narrative accounts of Jesus, or stories of the life of Jesus. But that's not what I did. I wanted to write an actual gospel in the form of the original Gospels.
So what are the stories of Jesus?
So there are, you know, the stories of his birth and his experience as a young man and his teachings and the parables he taught. And there are a few things I've been worried about or concerned about as for many years. One of them is what you referred to, the crime, or this Jesus is thought of as a common criminal. But the interesting question is, what crime did he commit? Now, some people say he committed a crime against Jewish law. Some people say against Roman law. The text is not clear. My Jesus in this gospel is someone who is deeply disturbing to Rome and therefore must be executed. I want to take the anti-Semitic element out of the traditional accounts of Jesus, because they were written many years after Jesus died anyway, through the experience of Christians long after his death.
Well, and that's important, because I think a lot of us grew up believing these were eyewitness accounts by people who were there.
Oh, yes, right, they do. Yeah, right.
That's inaccurate.
That is not generally accepted as a factual representation.
No, it can't be. The earliest gospel might have been written 30 years after the death of Jesus, but it's clearly full of observations that could not have been. Eyewitness accounts.
And there were probably a lot of editors.
Please tell me.
Many editors.
Please tell me. Give me a couple of Jesus stories.
You want to
just give me a couple of Jesus stories.
The name of this is the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple. Now, the Beloved Disciple is someone who appears in the Gospel of John, referred to only six times. No one knows who this person was. This is simply someone Jesus loved. I have made the Beloved Disciple a woman. It seems to fit the circumstances really quite well, because women were very important in the life of Jesus altogether. And that the woman is not just a woman, but she's in a certain sense Jesus' teacher. So that without her wisdom, there's nothing of his. The two cannot be separate from each other. So that's, I think, an important part of this whole thing. One of the things he does at her urging is to tell stories. It turns out he's very good at telling these little parables. I mean, for example, a rich man gathers his three servants, instructs them to go to the market and spend six pieces of silver. He gives them the pieces of silver in very clever ways, so that when they come back with what they've purchased, they will come back with something of greater value. So they go off to the market. The first comes back and says, "Well, I was really very clever. I bought some priceless jewels, the value of which the merchant was ignorant. So I have actually doubled your wealth in the six coins." And the rich man is delighted and congratulates the servant. The second one says, "Well, I did something even better. I went to the market. I found someone who was selling a goat, and I felt with my hand when he wasn't looking and realized the goat was carrying two kids. So I bought one goat, but I brought back three for you." And he said, "Oh, that's terrific." And the third one was a little bit abashed, and she said, "Well, actually, I lost my coins." And the rich man said, "What? You lost your coins? Are you a fool?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "How could that have happened?" And she said, "Well, I saw a group of itinerant actors and dancers, and I started dancing with them, and the coins just flew out of my pocket." And he said, "Flew out of your pocket? How could that be?" And she said, "Well, it's like this. You put one foot here and the other back there, and then you begin to turn in this one." And the rich man began to dance with her. And the other two servants said, "Hey, look who's the fool now." And the master said, "Go away, you two," and went continued to dance with the third servant.
I think we spoke earlier of the dance, did we not?
Yes, we did. That's why I told that story. I wanted to pick up the theme of the dance in the story. So
That's splendid. The
Jesus in this gospel tells dozens of stories like that.
We're going to be right back. You have taken my breath away. James Carse is our guest. Bill Russell and I are in New York with him. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Stay tuned. I promise you, when we come back, something very special.